Well, hello again there, karate fans, and welcome back to the Cobra Companion, your unofficial recap show for the YouTube Red Series, Cobra Kai. My name is Casey Bay, and along with me in his freshly pressed, starched white karate gi, he is our resident play-by-play man, Rob Bertrand.
And break. Face your partner, sir. Kung Nae.
Kick off your shoes, take a bow, and join us as we break down episode number 5, Counterbalance. As always, we spoil the hell out of it, so if you haven't watched it, go do so and come back. We'll be waiting for you. All right, we left off last week with a psyched up Johnny, stoked and reinvigorated about Miguel's mom letting him come back to Cobra Kai, which is a sight for a sore sensei coming off his Coors-fueled week of disappointment. How you doing, Robert Bertrand?
Bonsai, KZ.
And bonsai to you, too.
I'm doing fantastic.
Well, good. Are you
I
ready to...
I love this episode,
I did,
man.
Too. Are you ready to break down number 5?
Let's do
All
it.
All right, let's do it, man.
The episode opens on Miguel, who wakes up in the morning and immediately jumps on the floor for a round of push-ups. We then get a montage of Miguel training with Johnny, who continues to use questionable training techniques. What'd you think of Johnny?
So, I was more impressed with Miguel here. So, Miguel... He pops up out of bed. He doesn't even wipe his eyes, really. Like, he's up, out, doesn't stop to pee, nothing. Throws his earbuds
in. Who jumps out of bed first thing in the morning, doesn't run to pee?
Hits the deck, didn't stretch, didn't do nothing. He's down on the floor pushing. And you talk about commitment. That is 100% commitment.
Well, he's obviously got a push-up thing, because everywhere he goes, he's dropping down doing push-ups. It's like, run up these stairs, push-ups. Hanging out at the beach, push-ups.
Johnny's Johnny at this point. What are we going to do? He's a work in progress. We can all appreciate that. We're just happy the lights are still on at Cobra
Kai
right now.
We never got any like real training scenes with Crease. You know what I mean? Like where he's working one-on-one with a student. And I thought it was interesting to see Johnny, like he had a student in a straight up rear naked choke. Just locked it down.
Which Crease special. I could see Crease throwing a good solid choke on you, black you out, maybe pitch your pants a little bit.
Miguel tries to tap out.
Make you realize. And Miguel does. He taps out with speed and accuracy and says, oh, man, I don't know if I'm ready for all this.
But Johnny's like, there's no tapping in karate.
That's right.
What does a cobra do? What does a cobra do? There's no tapping in karate.
So what is he supposed to do? You're just supposed to like black out?
Go to sleep. It's over when you sleep.
I also noticed that Miguel's jogging a lot more, so he's getting in some really good shape.
Yeah. He's 100% on board. That's what I'm saying. Like he's ready to go to the next level.
So days go by. Miguel gets better, stronger, faster, eventually besting Johnny and sweeping him to the ground. But Johnny cheats and activates the pitching machine, nailing Miguel in the ear.
Yeah. Oh, what the hell? That was fair.
You want a fair fight? Dream on. You can't always think your enemies are going to play by the rules.
This whole pitching machine thing is questionable to me, right? So you're not...
What's it doing?
Like, I get the speed and accuracy portion of it. That's fine. But you wouldn't use a real baseball inside. Like, you got lots of windows around for one. Two, you're shooting a baseball at 90 miles an hour at a human being. That's tough to do.
Yeah, no mask or any type of facial.
Well, he's got these little kiss my ass pads on his arms and whatever, and his elbow's exposed, and it's supposed to be like on his knee, but it's below his knee and on his shin. And he's like, he took one ball straight to the kneecap and like kneed it. And didn't even flinch. And I'm like, come on, kid. If you took a 90-mile-an-hour fastball to your knee, you would be laying on the floor.
And I'm confused.
Crying.
I'm confused by it. Like, is it supposed to help him train to be faster and dodge?
Hand-eye coordination.
Or is it just simply to toughen up your arms and legs to be able to block kicks and punches?
No, it's being able to block something coming at you at a rapid speed.
And then I call shenanigans because why isn't he all bruised up?
Well, he should be beat to hell. That's right? What I'm saying. That could kill that kid. Not even a mask on his face or nothing. I mean, come on. That's party foul in
but
the
it's,
training
It's mode. Also interesting that Johnny teaches Miguel a lesson here, though, after hitting him in the ear with the baseball machine.
Nearly taking it off completely.
It's a good chance it's going to swell up at least. He's probably going to get a cauliflower ear.
Could you imagine how bad that would hurt?
Oh, man.
Taking
Forget
a shot
it.
To the ear.
Ring all day. Johnny says, you want a fair fight? Dream on. Enemies don't fight fair. That's valid point.
Valid point. Absolutely. And there's no cheap shots occur.
That's right.
You might think
a street fight, you're going to bow to your opponent and...
You think he won't punch you in the ear?
Think again.
He will punch you in your ear.
Or bite it.
Maybe first.
Training gets interrupted by a group of yoga hipsters. Turns out Johnny has sublet space out.
Hello.
Shit.
It's 5 o'clock. twilight is upon us.
All right.
What's going on?
I had to sublet the dojo for a few hours just till we get more students.
We need to change the energy in here.
Well, again, this is Johnny doing what he's got to do.
He's got to pay that rent.
It humored me so bad. He's already struggling, like just from a machismo, like testosterone perspective. All right, I'm already got to give in with my business, allowing these misfits and females and everybody else to come in here just so I can make a buck. Now I got to go ahead, because I still can't make the bills, I got to go ahead and sublet it out and let a whole fleet of ladies come in here that don't just come in and use my thing and
foo-foo
it up.
No, they come in and dress
it up. They cover
it
up with a band. They cover up my strike first message with some yoga banner. That's just a kick to the teeth for Johnny.
That hurts, but money's money.
Exactly. Got to keep them lights on.
Meanwhile, at Encino Oaks Country Club, Daniel is wining and dining Armand, a local businessman who recently had his country club membership revoked, with a lobster lunch.
Who eats just like Daniel's
kid. I put that down too in my notes. He, like, what is it with people that eat so sloppy in this show?
Just animals.
He's getting after that lobster like it's going to run out or something.
Yeah, he's definitely in it to win it. He's literally eating it like an animal. Yeah,
Armand notices that the lobster's not the only thing getting buttered up here. Daniel has an agenda.
Oh, so it's not only the lobster that's being buttered up, huh? Tell me. What can Armand do for you?
But then we cut to the buffet line, and Sam tells her mom that her cool friends are no longer returning her calls and went to a concert without her. That's not cool, man. Amanda thinks that, man, maybe it's okay, and then gets distracted by Anthony, who's drinking butter.
Anthony, stop drinking the butter!
You know, because why wouldn't you drink the drawn butter there at the lobster table? It seems like a good idea.
That kid's always up to something.
Yeah, for sure.
I also like that Anthony gets into like a game of one-upsmanship with Armand's son.
Yeah, that was some nice throwback rich kid business right there.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Where it's like they don't know nothing from nothing, but they're just going back
and forth. My dad's richer than your dad. Well, my dad knows karate, and he could kill your dad. And then shuts him right up.
The kid gets on just like, all right, taps out.
Yeah, you're right. My dad's a weakling.
I think Daniel, this is his kind of maybe peak douchebag moments that we're starting to see here at the country club.
Yeah, he's starting to use his influence and power.
Underhandmanship, coming in from a backdoor sneak attack, using his wealth and in favors to, you know, influence the situation, which I didn't appreciate.
So Daniel wants to talk real estate and completely makes up a story about a new auto group location. Armand wants to know if he scratches Daniel's balls, how's he going to scratch his?
You want me to scratch your balls? How are you going to scratch my balls?
That's not the expression.
I liked that this guy, he's not quite believing what Daniel's pitching either. You know what I mean? Like, he's looking at him like, first of all, why are you bringing me
out
here for dinner?
He's on to Daniel. He knows he's got ulterior motives.
You've never invited me to dinner before. What can I do for you? And he's pretty plain and simple with that.
So Daniel makes a shady deal bribing Armand by offering to help him get his membership back at the country club if he sells his strip mall in Reseda.
Daniel San, you look revenge that way. Start by digging to grave.
So across town, Robbie comes home and finds his mother rushing around. He wants to hang out, but she makes an excuse about having to run errands. Of course.
Hey, Mom.
Hey.
I went to Vaughn's and got those frozen pizzas that you like. You want to make dinner and watch a movie?
Oh, that's so sweet, honey. I actually have to run a couple of errands, but how about we do that tomorrow night, okay?
Yeah, sure. If you're not too hungover.
Hey. Okay, you caught me. I am going out, but you know, it is 9 LA week, so.
That scene is a sad one. And that is, like, she's basically telling him straight up, you're old enough now.
Yeah.
In 2 years, you're out of here. The child support's drying up. I got to figure out what I'm doing. Like, this is the reality, man. I got to go find myself a dude.
Yeah.
Sorry
she's
about
it. She's got to shack up.
And she doesn't really make much apologies for it and continues on her way. So that's a tough spot. Like, that kid's realizing pretty quick that his time on
his
own is,
his mother.
Is coming quick.
Absolutely. And she also admits that Johnny came by and wanted Robbie to go and live with him. And I thought it was interesting because he
caught
him off guard. And for a brief second, interest like crossed across his face.
What I found interesting was now he finds that he's coming up when his mom's clearly checking out. And I thought it was interesting that he's using that time to really go for the kill with his dad.
Right.
Like, it seems like that would be a time for you to kind of go, so what's this about? Versus,
well, it appears they are both coming to that realization, both Robbie and his mom, that you know, they're both getting older. Things are moving on.
Very, very true.
She's doing the only thing she knows how to do, right?
Right. She needs to be taken care of. Johnny's lady has a basket full of issues. That's pretty, pretty plain to see.
Back at the dojo, Johnny and Miguel are working on strikes when Aisha walks in.
What the hell? No yoga till 5, no matter how bad you need it.
I'm actually here for karate.
Asshole.
He is going to end up getting his ass kicked by her at some point. I hope they let that play out.
Aisha says she's actually here for karate, and Johnny turns her away, saying no girls in Cobra Kai. Miguel pulls Johnny into the office for a chat, but Johnny doesn't want the sexist bullshit because girls have tiny hollow bones.
Don't give me the sexist bullshit, right? I'm just saying women aren't meant to fight. They have tiny hollow bones.
Aren't you desperate for new students?
Yes. But this isn't a knitting class. This is a dojo.
Hilarious line.
Yeah, okay. It tickled me.
That was one of those, like, it's not a matter of gender, bro. They got hollow bones.
It's science.
I'm not taking the risk. And it tickled me that how much of an idiot he is.
Literally, their bones are like birds.
That's right. We would just murder the women.
And Miguel convinces him, though, that they need the students. You know, we got rent to pay.
They may have hollow bones, but they have money, too.
They do have money. And in fact, Aisha's dad is a defensive lineman for the Chargers and is loaded.
Again, that Miguel. What would Johnny do without him?
He's really needs to make him the assistant manager.
You really need to start looking through the middle here and find what's going on, boss.
So Johnny agrees to let Aisha train, but she can't act like a girl. I don't think that'll be a problem.
No, I was just going to say, she's pretty much
she's pretty mellow.
The most macho of the females in the show. I don't think you have to worry about her.
Johnny then asks about her getting bullied at school, and Aisha explains that it's mostly online now, which is something we've talked a lot about over different podcasts. Being a kid, it ain't easy these days, man.
No, I think it's harder than ever.
Harder than it's ever been. Because you can get made fun of at school and then go home and you're still made fun of online.
Get made fun of around the world.
That's right. Back in our day, we'd go home and you know, we'd have peace of mind and in the privacy of our own bedroom. But not anymore. Man.
So what I liked about this was Johnny, it cracked him open a little bit. So he's like, you know what? That's messed up. And you shouldn't have to suffer that. Like, he's starting to welcome her into the tribe a little bit.
Yeah, and then
more,
he pumps her up and tells her that she's going to send them a message, but not with keywords, with his fists.
That's right.
She actually smiles.
Whip a little. She's ready.
Yeah, oh, yeah. She was excited.
She's ready.
She wants to whip some ass.
Yeah, she's ready to do it, too. There ain't no two ways
She
about.
Is tired of this bullshit, and she's going to kick someone's ass.
And she's got the, you know what I mean? Like, once she learns how to, like, leverage her power, like her as a physical person,
sure,
she would murder people.
Oh, absolutely.
She would just maul those poor high school girls.
Later that day at LaRusso Auto Group, Daniel is talking with Armand on the phone again, still trying to make an offer in that strip mall. Armand doesn't understand why he wants that shithole. Armand gets offended when Daniel calls him out for not charging the renters market rate. So Armand basically tells Daniel that he's going to scratch his own balls, no deal.
Yeah, but he went there to scope it out. And I also like that he went and tried the boba tea out of curiosity.
Oh, I saw that too. It was so funny.
And was disgusted by it.
He didn't like it.
No, he was right on the money.
Have you ever had a boba tea? I've never had one. Oh, I just couldn't bring myself.
I can't say that I physically drank one. No, I could not. I would not.
You wouldn't do it either?
No,
yeah,
I couldn't.
It's not my thing.
I can't handle the
it's
texture.
It's a consistency thing. Next, we cut to Yasmin and Moon parked in a car smoking some low-calorie weed and getting freaked out by the homeless lady who's haunting them outside the car.
Not just any weed. Weed that her mom got her for her birthday.
Yeah, right. Was that a thing now?
Which I thought was an interesting line for the show, for one. And two, that you would have that in high school girl dialogue. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
That really puts her mom in a bad light.
Yeah, well, they're bad people. Obviously, look at their kids. Well, I mean, they're assholes.
Clearly. But yeah, I was just like, wow, what a questionable line to have.
So then Sam jumps in the back seat of their car and scares the shit out of them.
Pulls a knife.
She didn't pull a knife.
She should have.
Well, you know, I didn't think of it at the time, but yeah, you're probably right.
That would have really straightened
sent a message.
It out. Would have brought it around pretty quick.
She confronts them about not returning her messages, and they confess that Kyler told them that Sam thought she was better than them. And then they also tell her that Kyler is telling everybody she went down on him at the movie theater. What a dick.
Hey, just that guy, I tell you. Terrible individual. But we've
so
said that
Sam says that he's lying and then splits in a huff.
Well, as she should.
Yeah.
Ain't no reason to be around there taking all that guff. But, you know, I would think that would blow over pretty quick.
So why do her friends believe Kyler over her? Like,
they shouldn't. This whole thing I thought was blown out just a little bit more. Like, that would last about a week in school, maybe, and then it would be all over with. Her and Kyler would be broken up, and it would be on to the next thing. It was turned into this big old blown out deal.
I'm going to give this necklace to somebody else now.
Are they going to really...
Or bracelet, whatever. Whatever.
You know, when they're giving her blow pops and stuff like that all the time. Like, I mean, that's not going to go on all school year.
Yeah, they'll lose interest. Something new will happen. Back at the dojo, Johnny wants to see what Aisha is made of and has her square off against Miguel. Johnny wants Miguel to show her everything he's learned. Miguel is apprehensive and is like, hey, man, it's like kind of like her first day.
There's no first days in Cobra Kai.
No.
You show up like you've been there for a year.
But there's a lesson here. The lesson here is your enemy doesn't care what day it is. What, you're going to wait until the right day to fight? No, your enemy's going to attack when he wants to attack.
You're not on your schedule. You're on their schedule.
Johnny encourages Aisha to face her fear and jump face first into the fire. Miguel apologizes and then kicks her square in the gut, knocking her right on her ass.
And very funny. And then she gets up like a mad bull.
Yeah.
And...
charges him and literally body slams into the ground and then delivers a jumping two-knee like body splash right on Miguel's ribs. Probably breaks a rib or two.
Would have probably killed that kid in real life.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, that knee down would have ended old little Miguel.
Johnny thinks she is a natural Cobra Kai. Oh, what do you think?
She's got a killer.
Yeah,
she's got that. You can't teach killer. She's got it in her.
Johnny then hears screaming from the convenience store and leaves to investigate, where he discovers Armand and the convenience store owner in a vicious argument. The convenience store owner claims that Armand is jacking their rent up twice the price.
Dude, could you imagine somebody just shows up and says your rent's now double?
Is that legal? Like, they can just show up and do that? Like, isn't there some sort of notification they got to give? Or
I would think you would know better. You'd know better than me on that.
And isn't there like lease contracts you sign that say you're going to pay this much from this term to this terms? Like, I don't think that can happen, honestly.
I don't know. It did, and it was at the hands of Daniel Dagon LaRusso.
Yeah, what a cheap move, right? That night, Robbie is home alone, browsing his dad's Cobra Kai website, when his drunk mom and a date get home and stumble to the bedroom. Robbie grabs his headphones.
Yeah.
Be quiet.
You be quiet.
You be quiet.
You be quiet.
Okay, boss man. I like how you take charge.
Okay. Got to be an alpha to work at TBS Biz Affairs, right?
Yeah, you do. Be quiet. My son is sleeping. Okay.
That is a disturbing image.
Yes.
And I wonder if that happens a lot.
Clearly, that's what I mean. Like, it was nobody batted an eye. She didn't acknowledge him or wasn't awkward that he was there. They just kept on going.
Mom just dragged him right to the bedroom.
And he's being all bossy to her. Like,
oh, yeah.
Just the most grossest scenario. But yeah, him. So now he's got to go.
I found it very disturbing.
The whole Johnny's ex and Johnny's kid is a terrible situation. And honestly, a reflection of probably a lot of kids' scenarios
today.
Yeah,
that's probably very, very true to life.
Yeah, so a sad deal.
Across town, Johnny's at the pawn shop trying to hawk some items for cash, calling an old Atari a Nintendo by mistake. And the clerk offers him $10.
Which is probably too much. You know what I mean? Like, he had a heap of nothing going on. Like, he had nothing to try and
pull out some magazines.
What did he think he was actually going to turn around with that box of crap?
Johnny's desperate, so he pulls out some gold coins, expecting to make a payday. But the clerk basically tells him he'd need about 6,000 of these.
What are you talking about? That's cool.
It's real. I bit it.
Yeah.
I like the fact that he says, I've got a certificate of authenticity.
Yeah. No, it doesn't matter. Does not matter. The pawn guy says, again, now he's affected by it too. Listen, some dude just jacked my rent up. Normally I'd have thrown you $20, but I can't now.
Daniel has literally affected numerous people without even really thinking about it.
He caused himself a little tsunami.
We then get a wonderful long one shot of Johnny taking a step back to Cobra Kai and then walking to the convenience store to grab the last 6-pack of Coors Light, by the way.
He's bought them all.
Is Johnny cleaning them out of Coors Light?
I think Johnny's bought all of the Coors.
I don't disagree. You're probably right.
He gets a shipment of wheat or something. I'm sure Johnny cleared out the 9 6-packs that were in there.
And just as he pulls out that beautiful cold Coors Light 6-pack.
On his knees.
Yeah.
Reaching down to the back.
He's digging
case.
In the back. Yeah,
he's looking.
I thought he was going to pull out some like Lagunitas or something. Anyway, he hears a very familiar Newark accent. Yes, sir, Daniel LaRusso, standing in the convenience store talking to the shop owner.
What's going on?
Oh, just checking out the neighborhood. I was actually considering opening up a dealership on this side of town, but now I don't know, man. The rent seems to be going crazy out of control. Frankly, I don't know how you afford it. Small business like yours, more power to you. You know, on second thought, I don't need the paint. I'm sorry. I'll just take the gum here and put that guy's beer on my tab. Looks like he's had a rough day.
I didn't quite understand this. Was Daniel stalking him? Was Daniel waiting for Gina to show up at the store? Daniel wasn't there just because.
Well, it wasn't explained, but it makes perfect sense that Daniel was probably down there to gloat a little bit.
To who?
To Johnny.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So did he just wait around knowing he was going to run into Johnny eventually at the convenience store?
Yeah, I think that's what went down.
So how does that not make Daniel the biggest dick of all time?
He is the biggest dick of all time.
Like, right, you're going to go down and just wait around.
And I think
around.
That's the point of this whole episode is Daniel is at the apex of losing his balance. Like, he is completely off the fucking reservation.
So you tell him the ultimate barb of, he's had a tough day. Go ahead and throw his beer on my tab, because money's no problem.
I'm
going to
pay
me.
For his beer and just take
I'm
one last
pinch,
shot.
But I understand you might be in a pinch.
Yeah. You just raise your rent.
Go ahead and throw the banquet on me.
Do you think Johnny realized that Daniel was the reason this happened? Or is he completely oblivious?
No, I don't think he put two and two together that quick, but I would think that it would come out in the wash at some point.
But Daniel almost admits what he did here. Like, he says, I was thinking about buying this place. The rents are so high.
Yeah, but he only said that to poke him, right? Like, he was just doing that just to needle Johnny a little bit, because he realizes that now his rent's going to be going up. I just found that to be Daniel at
his most douchiest.
At the peak of just Miyagi shamed him. That would be the apex of it.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, like, what did he do? Did he just sit around and wait to see Johnny? And
he was parked out in his car.
And create some
probably drinking a boba.
Some awkward dialogue and then shame him into saying, oh, let me buy your beer, you poor bastard. And then
I think that was a last ditch. Oh, yeah, I'm going to do that. Like, that was a snap decision.
So
he didn't plan on buying it, but
I did like
he saw an opportunity.
I like that Daniel's wife did bring it to his attention that, great,
yes,
you went after Johnny and you basically put.
That's right. So later that night, Daniel's celebrating revenge with a glass of expensive wine, and his wife wants to know why he's so happy.
This is delicious. It's peppery and it's like people in their wine, man.
I don't get it either.
God,
it's just wine, man.
Drink the shit.
Daniel admits to his wife that he convinced Armand to jack up the rent so Cobra Kai would have to shut down.
Giddy, like, hey,
just so happy.
Look what
about
I did.
It. And Amanda is quite concerned. Like, what happened to the Daniel I married? This isn't you.
Yeah, ever since that karate guy came to town, I lost my husband.
Obviously, he's crossed the line. Like, Daniel has literally become the villain.
All right, look, Daniel's life, he's the boss, right? Nobody's telling
he's
Daniel
in control.
Nothing. He's in control.
Absolutely.
He's got the money and the power to do what he wants to. So it happens. People get polluted when they have those tools in their pouch.
The next day at school, the cool kids won't let Sam sit with them at lunch, so she tries to sit with Aisha, but she turns Sam away too. Fed up, Sam confronts Kyler about his lies.
Think it's funny to spread lies about me?
What are you talking about? We saw a movie, and that's it. Well, maybe I saw a little bit more than you.
I hate this kid. Like, I'm full-on anti-Kyler now.
Absolutely.
I didn't hate him at the beginning. But your hatred is infectious.
Good.
And now every time he talks, I'm just like, I can't stand
it. He needs to be throat punched. That's all there is to it.
Like, in real life, that kid.
He's terrible.
No, we do not condone him getting.
So she goes, why doesn't she kick his ass and go straighten this out?
Well, I don't think she's a violent person.
No, but she can forcefully tell him he needs to call off the dogs on this Twitter beef or whatever's going on.
Right.
But it seems like she would have been able to handle herself and get that.
Why not just make a large announcement? Like, I did not go down on Kyler at the movies. He's lying.
Yeah.
Right in front of everybody. And then the fat curly-headed kid, he makes a dumbass comment again because he's got to have one at least an episode.
Well, that's his only job. Like, that's his. What? Look at his highlight reel on this show is embarrassing. You know, I mean, that kid, there's nothing to be proud of for him on this show.
Sam slams a lunch tray to the ground in anger, and then Kyler loudly asks the lunch crowd if they remember the billboard with big-ass dick.
I guess Sam takes after
her dad. Son of a bitch.
She should have just wheel-kicked him right in the face.
Right there.
Why wouldn't you? You know what I mean? And then just whoop his ass.
Well, so, guess what? Miguel has heard enough.
Hey, Kyler, why don't you shut the hell up and stop being such an asshole?
Kyler says, I'm ready for your lame-ass karate this time. I don't think he is.
No, he's clearly not ready for it.
Kyler takes the first swing, but Miguel expertly blocks it and punches him right in the damn face. And then we get an epic
full-blown karate kung
fu.
It goes beyond karate.
Miguel takes out Kyler and all of his goons. And my favorite part is Aisha in the background screaming, "No mercy!"
That's right. She just wants to see
She was like instantly ready for blood.
I need to see somebody's ass beaten now.
Of course, all the cell phones come out. Everybody's recording it. Because that's what would really happen these days. Nobody would try to stop it.
He's using trays. It's spinning around.
Yeah,
he's like a
goddamn superhero.
He is unbelievable. All this in 6 months of training on the
Johnny
Favorish
system.
Side. Yeah. You know I mean, like it's what, been 4 months maybe, but you know that's what happens. You start doing push-ups all the time.
Yeah, when you're dropping push-ups everywhere you go, you develop excellent karate.
He kicks the hell out of the whole fleet of them, and finally sends them scurrying like dogs, like they are. You know what I mean?
My first question is, where are the goddamn teachers?
Well, one came at the end there. After the show was all down and he was standing there doing the pose down 15 minutes after the
I remember a couple fights in high school, and there was always somebody on it within
2 seconds. Yeah. Like it's prison style rules there. Like, you know,
I even watched a janitor bust up a fight one time. It was amazing. Now, Sam seemed a little taken with Miguel after the fight. Like,
oh, absolutely.
He stuck up for my honor.
Regards to her and Aisha, like, wouldn't that be a good time for her to sit down and go, look, man, I realize that you've been going through this crap and it sucks. I know that because it just happened to me. So,
I've witnessed it with my own eyes.
So why don't we band together and break these girls up?
Yeah.
You know, it seems like that would be a good time for her to rekindle that lifelong friendship that they have.
I think
and
it's
try and
too little
it
too late for Aisha.
Yeah,
like,
I think you're right.
You should have done this months ago. Now I've got the problem solved. Like,
right.
I found a solution. I got friends.
They're called Cobra Kai.
That's right.
Take that home.
Now I'm going to take my brittle hollow bones over here, and I'm going to eat my sandwich.
La Russa.
Oh. After school, Miguel tells Johnny about the fight, and Johnny is super proud that his lessons are finally working. He tells Miguel to follow him, and he pops a trunk to his car, revealing a vintage Cobra Kai karate gi.
I wore this when I was training for my first tournament back in 81. I want you to have it.
Are you sure?
Hell yeah. You earned it.
His actual karate gi, too, which is a
his
nice
training
touch.
Gi from 1981. Yeah. I'm not giving you the best one.
Right.
I'm giving you my first one.
Well, it's the trainer. You're training right now. It's what you wear when you're training.
You're probably going to get some blood on this.
When it's showtime, you'll get the showtime suit. But not until then.
The showtime suit. Put it on a t-shirt. And just then, Robbie rounds the corner as Johnny gives Miguel a fatherly hug, and he sees it, and disappointment just washes over his face, and he walks away sullen.
Which is, you know, just shows his level of maturity at that point. Like, he immediately sees it as a negative thing and can't
I've been
it.
Replaced.
Yeah. You know, like, it didn't have to go down
now,
that
do
way.
Do you think Robbie was actually coming there to train, or was he coming there to live with Johnny? Because he had a bag with him, right?
I think he was coming to, like, explore this, so I heard you stop to visit Mom, what's going on thing.
Right.
I think that's what it was. And then he got there and was like, oh, he don't need me.
Yeah. He's got that
typical Hollywood layout. We've been here.
We then catch up with Daniel, who's walking slowly through a cemetery until he comes upon Mr. Miyagi.
Hey, Mr. Miyagi. I know it's been a few months, but better late than never, right? I've been thinking about you a lot lately. It's funny. When I was a kid, you seemed to always have all the answers, and I guess I thought when I got older, I'd have it all figured out, too. But now I just feel like I'm clueless.
I thought this scene was the most touching.
So
this one hit me right in the feels.
Yeah.
Man.
But this is where the show is good and the show is bad, right? Because the writing really has a pendulum, and sometimes it's super cheesy and doesn't really fit, and then it goes
and
the other way.
And then it hits you over something with like something super
and
emotional.
Then, like, this is so well thought out, like the doorway scene with Johnny in the last episode. You know what I mean? Like, there's a couple key scenes in every episode that's like really well thought out, and the rest kind of almost seems like filler sometimes. But this was a very necessary thing. Like, there needed to be some sort of rekindle between those two to go, what the hell's going on right now?
Yeah. You know,
like, drawing attention to the fact that it's out of control.
Yeah, this isn't the Daniel we remember. And something's wrong.
And so it's nice to see him go from such a negative light in the beginning of this episode to, like, realizing it within himself, going to, where can I go to figure this stuff out?
Yeah, he retreats to his teacher.
So it goes back to the roots and turns a new leaf.
Dude,
so
the part that got me the most, and I won't lie, man, I might have teared up a little bit, is when he stood and bowed to Miyagi. Well, it's like, wow, man. Oh, I miss that guy.
Don't you, though? Like, he is such a missed character in this show. It's unbelievable. Like,
so there's a few things we learn here. If you pay attention, it's revealed that Miyagi died on November 15th of 2011. Now, if I remember right, the actor Pat Morita, who portrayed Miyagi, actually passed away around 2004. Don't quote me on that, but it was a while ago. So it's interesting to learn that Miyagi lived well past that into 2011.
I wonder,
7 years ago.
I wonder if there's going to be any other callback to that, or if it's just one of those things where they figured out how old do you think he lived, and let's just kind of do the years math, and you know what I mean?
Right.
2011 it is.
I also thought it was funny that Daniel pulled out some bonsai trimmers and was like taking care of a tree by the headstone.
Yeah, because he hadn't been there in a year and a half.
I think he said 6 months.
You know, got some work to do.
I think it was about 6 months, but it's better late than never.
It's all dead. Half brown.
Anyway, just a remarkably touching scene. I thought it was fantastic. Probably one of my favorite scenes in the series so far. Daniel then gets back to his car, and then we hear a very familiar, soothing voice. The voice of Mr. Miyagi. And then Daniel flashes back to his conversation on the night of his birthday when Miyagi gave him his first car, and Miyagi reminds him to remember his first lesson on balance.
Which is, I mean, that scene in the movie is one of the more touching
moments
of the film, too.
It's the moment where they both realize they're each other's best friend.
Absolutely. And to get such a gift like that, you know what I mean? Like a classic car. Unbelievable.
And that's every, like, poor kid's dream has been taken in by a wonderful benefactor that gives you a classic vintage car.
Judging by the size of Miyagi's headstone, there was some money laying around. So Daniel maybe was already wealthy at the time.
I took that,
Miyagi
too.
Passed.
I was like, okay, that's a pretty extravagant headstone. Now, maybe Daniel had hit some success, you know, around the time that Miyagi passed.
In 2011, it would make sense that Daniel was in the auto game.
Sure. At least getting started, and so it looked like he had splurged a little bit on that headstone, right? Miyagi reminds him to remember his first lesson on balance. The lesson was not just for karate, but for his whole life. Daniel seems to come to the realization, and he understands.
He definitely gets that.
His balance is off. He's lost his way.
But also, the best time of his life was when he was living this lifestyle, right?
True.
And so he realizes, like, I'm not doing any of that stuff now. And my life reflects equally. So I need to start getting things ratcheted back.
He needs
to
get his house in order, just like
absolutely.
Johnny said.
And so, to his credit, I got to say, it good for him for acknowledging that and trying to put it into motion.
We then rejoin Johnny as he's fighting with his landlord on a cell phone about his rent payment. Johnny says he has a plan, but does he?
No.
No, I don't think he does either.
He has no plan.
He then pulls up.
His plan is to get more students, kick some more ass.
Good timing, because he pulls up to Cobra Kai, and outside is a large group of kids all standing around looking at cell phones, watching the fight from the lunchroom with Miguel. Looks like he's gone viral.
One more time, Miguel to the rescue.
Yeah, the kid's a genius, man.
Why? Look, not only did you teach him your way, he took it to school, showed everybody what's up, and sent him running like
he made Cobra Kai cool again.
Like you're feeding pigeons at the park, homie. Like, he's got people lined up just waiting for you.
And Johnny just smiles and says, we're back in business.
That's right. The ship's coming in, man.
Then back at LaRusso's, Daniel opens up his storage room and begins moving all the stuff out. Slowly but surely, he empties the room and begins to restore it back to his karate dojo. As a final touch, Daniel places a photo of Mr. Miyagi on the mantle overlooking the dojo. Man, so many feels. Oh.
No joke. Plus, he's in a sleeveless t-shirt. So you got Daniel showing the guns.
Yeah.
And getting, you know, emotional with the stuff from our era.
Sure.
And the connection that we have with this story.
That's right.
And yeah, that it makes us feel, you know, I don't know about you, but I feel it's like that's when I notice the years gone by. When I go, man, I feel old right now.
And then we cut over to LaRusso Auto Group, where Amanda's wrapping up a job interview with, surprise, it's Robbie.
Wow, this is an impressive high school transcript. Why do you want to sweep up around here? Shouldn't you be in college?
Just taking some time off to figure things out. This is exactly where I want to be.
Okay. Well, I'd love for you to meet my husband, but he's taking a personal day. Can you start Monday?
Absolutely.
Well, welcome to the LaRusso family.
Where'd that come from? She hires him on the spot. Like, come on.
Well, he's a good-looking kid.
His resume ambitious. Is that good?
Ambitious. Well, he made up. Well, he
probably
made up
lied. Yeah, he probably lied about one. It.
He's probably used a fake identity. I'm surprised his name's actually Robbie and it's not like Keith.
This scene, again, he really, really reminds me of Terry Silva from Karate Kid 3.
It's Silva.
Like, Silver?
Yeah.
What did I say? Silva?
Silva.
Okay, well, look, don't quote me. I don't know. I don't know his heritage.
Just say Silva.
I'm just saying he reminds me of him.
So, yes, we've commented on it before, but I don't know. Does nobody else realize this in the casting department? That it just kind of throws people off and goes, if you watched all the Karate Kid movies, you're instantly going to connect him to the other villain.
Watch this happen, okay? Season 2, it's going to be revealed that Johnny is not Robbie's biological father. No. It's actually Terry Silver.
With the drunk. He picked her up at the bar.
Picked her up at the local Hooskow.
The same night. She did Johnny earlier in the night.
That's
then
right.
Then hit Terry Silver. They're now Eskimo brothers.
Oh, no.
And it's Terry's kid getting Johnny off the hook. Win-win.
Well, mark it down. Yeah. It's going to happen.
Johnny's going to buy a case of Banquet when he finds that.
Oh, are you kidding me? He's going to get a keg. We then cut back to Daniel, who's putting the finishing touches on his dojo. And he opens a small wooden box and pulls out the iconic Karate Kid headband. And once again, places it across his forehead and ties it on.
Well, that's where the magic lives.
That's right.
The magic lives within that headband.
That's like his power object. Yeah. It's
the same thing as Sylvester Stallone's hat and over the top.
What I do is I just try to take my hat and I turn it around, and it's like a switch that goes on.
That's exactly right.
That's exactly what it is. It's the same thing. They hold the same power.
I was going to say it was like He-Man's sword, you know, raising it up.
Same thing, but that's not in real life. The hat.
Sure, the hat.
Headband. You can touch those.
It's like I flip a switch.
That's right. Same stuff, man. Johnny's black headband, Daniel's headband, and Sylvester Stallone's hat and over the top. Powerful objects.
And then the episode ends as Daniel busts out his ever-famous karate kata.
Dude. And just
starts going through the motions.
Going for it.
I actually read it's the exact kata that he used in the original movies.
Well, why wouldn't he? That's what he was taught.
Do you think he remembered it, or did he have to relearn it?
Oh, I'm sure he had to relearn that. That's been a long time.
You don't think he's at home practicing that for the last 30 years?
There's probably parts that felt familiar. Yeah, I remember that. But I'm sure there was a lot of brushing up going on.
Oh, man.
His form in the forms is not exactly.
Well, it's been a while.
But
okay?
Like you said, we talked about it with the boba kick. It's the same thing. Like the form is just not.
It'll come
quite
back
there.
To him. Well, you know, he's got to stretch a little bit.
We got to give Daniel a little bit of credit for coming around here.
All right, man. So what did you think of the overall episode 5? To me, it's the best episode of the series so far.
Everything is ready to roll. We got a good taste of what's about to happen.
Yeah, we're about to achieve liftoff.
Yeah, everything is done. Which I kind of felt that way about the last episode where they were kind of finishing up the setups and all that
stuff. It's been kind of a slow build.
Right. But now you can see Cobra Kai's picking up. He sees that it can work out.
It's like Daniel's worst case scenario. Cobra Kai is now popular again. It's got a shit ton of students. And he tried to squash it, but it just took off like a wildfire.
That's right. It's a time when kids really want to get after it. So we'll see what happens, how Johnny can handle it. If he's going to be the sensei that he thinks he can be. But he's got a lot of changing to
do. I thought it was interesting that we got to see Daniel be his most evil and then catch himself and retreat to Miyagi and kind of start to recenter himself, like refine that balance he's missing.
Well, he needs to send that convenience store owner a fruit basket or some sort of an apology.
Or at least give him a discount on a well-used,
you know, an Audi, like an 06 Audi or
sure,
something, right?
You know.
I don't know how he can find his center and then just act like he didn't cause that problem for everybody. That's an interesting thing.
Yeah, isn't it interesting, too, that he spends almost the entire first half of the season working up to being a complete douche, and then in an instant decides, well, oh, that's too far. I need to.
I mean, look, his kids are against him. His wife's now turned against him. He's not really super well respected around the dealership. You know what I mean? It's not like anybody walks on eggshells when Daniel's around. Everybody's goofing off doing. You know what I mean? Like they're not.
That is
true. They don't seem to fear him by any stretch.
Well,
of the
imagination. Cousin Louie's fault. He's setting a bad example.
Yeah, but I mean, it sets the tone for the crew around there. Like he's definitely doesn't come off like the boss. He's the owner.
Yeah.
But nobody seems to fear him like the boss. Everybody's like,
at least we haven't seen him.
Yeah.
Assert any type of authority there.
Right. Until we'll get there.
All
episode
right.
6, you might see a little bit of that, but I'm not going to spoil anything quite yet.
We'll see.
So I'm digging it. I like it. I think episode 6 and on is when it really starts laying the hammer down for me.
All right, man. Well, that wraps it up.
I can't wait to break down episode 6.
I know.
So much great stuff happens in episode 6.
It just gets better
six,
and better.
And it just gets so much more fun. And this one was a great time, so I'm really enjoying the show.
Well, what did you think? We want to hear from you.
Absolutely, send us a message. You can reach us on Twitter at Vantucky Fried Pod. That's probably the easiest way to get to us. You can go to VantuckyFriedPodcast.com. You can send us a message there as well. And in short order, we're going to have this thing move to its own page and will be easier to access and everything for you there as well. So just keep riding with us. We're trying to figure out how to spin this thing off appropriately, and which I think we've got figured out. And you can access all the Cobra Kai you want. So we're going to continue breaking it down 6 through 10. And then we're going to be back for season 2. So don't you sweat it. So go in, get your YouTube Red on, get your free 30-day trial, get caught up on Cobra Kai, and come hang out with us. We're going to do it every week. Next week, back with episode number 6, Hawk Time, baby.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, I think they're calling that one Quiver, which is an interesting name for it.
I have an answer to that.
I do, too. I know it. I know it.
Oh, you do?
I know your trivia, Bertrand.
Whatever. We'll find out next week.
I got to say, I learned something. I didn't know it.
I didn't either.
So it was nice. I went out. All right.
That's interesting.
I like it. Good enough. Okay, we'll see you next week on the Cobra Companion.